Peace to you this morning. I hope you've had a good week. It is good to be with you. Lots of great things going on. I'm excited for today and this afternoon and the baptism, and I hope you can make it. If you don't have time to get food, we made some corn chowder in a crock pot, and there might not be enough, but we're just going to say, Jesus, do the same thing with the fish and the loaves, and we'll make it work. But we invite you to come. Don't let food stop you. It's a great celebration. How many people remember elementary school? Some of you, it wasn't too far long ago. For some of us, it's like, I think I went there. I can't remember. Elementary school helped us develop some of our core memories in life, some good and some bad. And one of the things I remember about elementary school was kickball, right? Kickball was good and bad all at the same time because it wasn't necessarily the game of kickball. It was getting ready to play the game. And do you remember choosing teams? Oh, it was like the worst because you didn't want to be the captain because you didn't want to have to make the picks, but you didn't want to be being picked because you didn't want to be one of the last ones because you wanted people to see your athletic prowess and everything. And so I always hated being a captain because on the one hand, you want to choose people that are going to help your team win, right? That's the goal of kickball. On the other hand, it's like, oh man, they always get picked last and I feel bad for them. But I don't want them on my team. But what am I going to do? And so it just creates these memories for us as you think back upon it. And there's a great video online. And if you follow along in YouVersion with the sermon, there's a link to the video to watch later. Not now, because I'd hear it. But it's just about, it's called Picking Teams. And there's six players and there's two captains. And they're going through picking their teams. And they pick the first five. And it comes down to the last captain. And he's just like, and he's just looking around for anybody but the last player. We'll take this guy on the crutches. And then the last player's like, what? He can't even run. He can't even do anything athletic. You're going to choose him over me? And they just go on and on. It goes back to the next captain. He's like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Now it's the last player, and he's looking around. He's like, and he sees someone mowing the lawn in the back. We'll take Hector. We got Hector on our team. And they just start choosing everybody and anything other than the last player. And it's absurd. They choose someone's dog, someone's mailbox, a Barry Bonds baseball card. It's just on and on it goes. At one point, one of the captains is like, we'll take a sample of the Ebola virus. And that's where the last player's like, really? Like, I thought we were friends. You would rather have the Ebola virus on your team than me, right? Childhood memories, like great trauma. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we see people always get chosen ahead of us and before us. And like, why not me? And today I want to talk about, when we're talking about the names of God, what's in a name. We've been looking at the names of God. And I want to talk about what the Bible says about us. Now, backing up a minute, the last 3 weeks we've talked about who God is. The first week we talked about God as Yahweh. He is the I am who I am. I will be who I will be. He's always existing. He's bigger than everything and he can handle everything. He's before all things, he's in all things, and he's past all things. Then we talked about God as Father. He's the one who provides for us and protects us and directs us. Last week, Pastor Brandon talked about Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us in all ways, in his timing and in his ways. There's nothing that he can't heal. This big, huge picture of God. And I'm thankful for the Bible and for God revealing himself to us because he reveals that he's this great, big God, bigger than everything we can imagine or understand about him. This is the God of the Bible. And today I want to start looking at some of the ways and names that we're called as believers. And today I want to talk about the name Chosen. That you and I are chosen. And that's a huge, huge truth for us to understand. The Apostle Peter writes this message to the church in 1 Peter. He says this, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And there's so much great truth in just those few verses right there, right? And I want you to see that. And he all starts out with this and brings this truth about what God does in this. You are a chosen race. And I want you to let that sit in your minds and hearts for a minute. I want that to resound in what it is, because it's such an incredible statement. You are chosen. Do you feel that? Do you get that? You are chosen. You're picked. You're selected. You're invited. God has chosen you. This great God who does all these things and can heal everything and is before all things has chosen us. He's chosen you. Man, that's one of the best truths that I can think of. And we're not just chosen. We're chosen by God. And I hope that this morning I've had so much fun studying and reading over these things and just learning who I am in Christ and who we are in Christ. I hope this truth just plows over you like a ton of bricks, that you are just allowed to sit in that and be like, man, God, you are amazing. And so kind of as we talk about this, the bottom line for today is this, that we are not chosen for what we bring, but because of His grace, which brings us in. We're not chosen because of what we bring, but because of God's grace that brings us in. That's the beauty. That's the truth of who God is. And so today I want to talk about why that is important and what that means in our lives. And so we're going to read from the Gospel of John in a minute here. Before we do, I'm going to change things up a little bit. Instead of myself praying for the sermon, can I get one or two of you in the audience that would be willing to pray for our sermon today? Yeah. All right, Jeremy and Jackie. We'll go in that order. Jeremy first, then Jackie. We'll have them pray. For those that are watching online or listening, I'm sorry you probably won't hear the prayer, but you'll get by. You'll understand what we're doing. Let's pray. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy and Jackie. Now, church, if you wouldn't mind standing with me, if you can, as we read from God's Word this morning. Our word for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to read verses 12 through 17, and this is God's Word. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Amen. You can have a seat, church. I love this teaching in John, and it comes from probably one of the most incredible sections of Scripture for us to just sit in and listen to Jesus' words, because in John chapters 13 to 17, this is what's called the Last Supper. All these five verses are covering the Last Supper. It's one of Jesus' last moments with his disciples before he heads to the cross. And so he's very intense. There's a lot of emotion in it. And there's so much good teaching. Like, before I go, I need to make sure that you guys understand these things. It is of vital importance that you get it. And so these few chapters are just full of such good teaching and good truths from Jesus. And here Jesus is reminding them just about who God is and who they are and what their call is supposed to be. Love one another. Well, how do we love one another? As I have loved you over these last 3 or 4 years that we've walked together, as I have loved you, I want you to go out and love one another. And so there's this great truth of doing that. And then he throws this truth in. There's no greater love you can do for somebody than to lay down your life for your friend. In 24 hours, Jesus is going to lay down his life. Before he gets there, he tells his disciples, there's not a better love, there's not a greater love that you can do for a friend than to give up yourself for them. He's letting them know who they are and what he's about to do. And then I love, in some like just the most inclusive language and the best language, Jesus tells the disciples who they are. You're not just servants. You are my friends. Can you imagine sitting at that table with Jesus? And he's like, I call you friends. A servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but you've seen me and watched me, and so I call you friends. It's just I'm not even getting to chosen yet, but it's just like this truth bomb for the disciples as they sit there like, wow. Like, Jesus looks at me as a friend. And then he drops this truth for them. You did not choose me. I chose you. Man, what a truth there is in that teaching. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And sure, there's a degree of when Jesus was picking the disciples, he chose these 12. And we'll talk about what that'll look like later, and not just for them, of how God chooses us as well and what that looks like. But God has chosen us. Before we chose him, he chose us. And so that's what I want to talk about today, this idea of being chosen. Of being called and accepted by God. And before we jump into that, we're going to work backwards a little bit, because here's the first point that I want you to see. That you and I, that we are made to belong. We are made and we are created to belong in things. This is one of these big implications and truths that start all the way back in the beginning, but that you and I need to understand. That back in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, when God is creating things, and when God is creating all the animals and the birds and the fish and the plants and everything else, he creates them all, but at one point he stops and he's getting to man and he says something different about man. Let us make man in our image. In the image of God, male and female, he created us. And there's a difference about who God is. The Bible, and I will not be able to explain this all the way to you, and so part of it is you can learn and talks about the different parts of who God is, but the God of the Bible is a God who exists in three distinct persons, even though he's one. And it's not a multiple personality syndrome or anything like that. God is beyond our comprehension because he's different than us. He exists in relationship and community already. That's who he is. And you're like, well, wait, I can't wrap my head around that. Right, if you want a God that you can completely understand and put in a box, that's okay. But the God of the Bible is outside every box we can come up with. Because we can't put that all together. That's what I love about God. If you have to struggle with that, I understand. But that's who God is. He's Father, he's Son, and he's Holy Spirit. But they're all God. So he exists in community. And so when he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, he's creating us to exist in community. The problem is, we are not three distinct people in one. If you are, I got some phone numbers, maybe that might help you. But we are not like God in that manner. But we are like God in the sense that we are created to belong to one another and be in community and relationship with one another. We are created to be in relationship and community with God. That's the purpose. That's part of who we are. He created us for that relationship. Adam and Eve walked through the cool of the garden in the day with God. It was natural. It's what they do. We're not only created to be in community and relationship with God, we're created to be in community and relationship with one another. Isolation is not the way God intends for people to live their lives. We're created to belong to God, and we're created to belong to one another. I think of it this way. We had several months ago, we had that Thursday group going on, and some men would meet, and they would build models, and some of us, me, would build a puzzle, because I'm too nitpicky about models, and I can never make it perfectly, and so I get frustrated. But I could build puzzles, and puzzles are great. How many people love building puzzles? There is nothing more satisfying than building a difficult puzzle and putting that last piece in, right? It's like, it's great. On the same note, there's nothing more frustrating than buying a brand new puzzle and it's missing a piece. Hell hath no fury. Like, if you bought it from a thrift store, that's one thing. I paid 50 cents. I expect pieces to be missing. But if I have to take off the shrink wrap of a brand new puzzle, all the pieces better be in there. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then when they're not there, something is missing. And I've got problems. Preach it over there. And so one day I opened up a puzzle And thankfully, I was on the better end of the spectrum. I get all the pieces. Sometimes I start with the edge, and sometimes I don't, just because I'm broken in the head, and we'll talk about that. But I decided to start with the edge pieces. And in the bottom right corner, I'm getting it all, and I'm putting it together, but the image doesn't match up. It should be here, but three of the pieces, the image is scooted down. And I'm like, but they fit. The corner piece and these two pieces, it all fits. But the image isn't right. And then I keep going and I find there's three more edge pieces that are the three edge pieces for my piece. And I put those in and they fit and the image is perfect. Which makes me deduce and go, the machine cut the puzzle of the puzzle before me. And when it lifted it off, those three pieces got stuck. And then when it cut my puzzle, those three pieces, extra pieces, dropped in my puzzle. Meaning, I have three extra pieces, but somebody, somewhere, is going to build a brand new puzzle missing three edge pieces. Terrible. I know. And here's the point, church. You and I are created to belong. We're created to belong to God, and we're created to belong in relationship with one another. When we fail to engage in those things, there is a piece missing. You are the piece missing, because God has created you to belong all along. From the very beginning, God has created you to belong. And so we, even I think in our DNA as people, for most people, there's some people that really love isolation. I read the story of a lady that spent 500 days in a cave, but she still needed stuff that kept her somehow connected to the outside world. Music and just different news and different things. But I think inside every one of us, in our DNA, we're looking for groups that we can belong to. We're looking for people that we can connect with. We want to be there. Even as an extreme introvert, which I am, and you wouldn't think so because I speak up here, and that's one of the questions I have for why God would choose me to preach, but let it be what it be. I don't want to be isolated from people. I want to be around people. I just don't want to have to talk to you. Right? That's my introversion. Because I'm afraid of saying the wrong things or frustrating you or sounding stupid or any of those things. It's just fear of myself. But I don't want to go sit in a corner by myself. I still want to belong. Even though I'm introverted, I want to belong. It's created into our DNA. That's who God made us to be. Our Wednesday night small group, we're going through this Bible study book. And last week, a couple weeks ago, was on our identity and who we are. And the author, Mark Moore, makes this great quote. He says this, "We'll never know our true selves in isolation. We know ourselves to the extent that we are known. All of us are the sum of our relationships. Though our characteristics are unique, our character is forged on the anvil of community." And I cannot give a bigger amen to that comment. Our character, who we are, is forged on the anvil of community because you and I are created to belong to God, and created to belong in relationship to one another. And when we step away from those things, we're missing some key, crucial elements of who God created us to be. And the Bible is full of verses that talk about us being in relationship, and we can go on and on. And if you have your handout, you'll see verses under that first point you can look up later. If you go through YouVersion, those verses are listed in there for you to look up. But even when we come back to Genesis, when God is creating everything, he creates Adam, and he has Adam, brings all the animals before Adam, and Adam names all the animals. And I want to know how he came up with platypus and things like that. But after everything is said and done, Adam names all the animals, and God says this in Genesis 2:18. "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Why? I've created him to belong. I've created him for a relationship. And the animals ain't cutting it. It's great that you love your dog and your cat and your pet snake if you're twisted like that, and that's okay. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. God created us to belong. It's who we are, and I need you to understand that, because that's critical for you to understand this idea that God has chosen us. And so Jesus, when we come back to John, he says to his disciples, love one another, do all these things. I don't call you servants. I call you friends. I need you guys to know this. I chose you before you chose me. And that's what I want you to see, is that God chose us first. God chose us first. There's a I used to really love reading. There's a site called Babylon Bee. Maybe some of you know about it. Some of you don't. It's a humorous satire site. Nothing on it is really true, but they really poke fun. And I really used to enjoy it because it was pretty even all over the board. But they have been a little bit more political in the past, so I don't pay as much attention to it. And that's just who I am. But the other day, they had one of their headlines that was super funny. And so I'll show you that in a minute. But if you've been paying attention to the baseball world, a lot of things have been going on. Last year, for all you Dodger fans, congratulations to you. The Dodgers won the World Series. And so in the offseason, they've decided to go about and get all the rest of the best players in Major League Baseball and buy them for their team. And so the Babylon Bee had this headline, said this, we'll show a picture. All baseball players in the known universe are signed for 30 years for, what is it, $400 trillion by the Dodgers. And it kind of feels like that. If you're a Dodger fan, you're like, yeah, so what? And if you're not a Dodger fan, you're like, so I saw another image that said, if Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, what's the saddest place on earth? And someone showed a picture of Angel Stadium. It's right down the street. I'm like, man, brutal. Yeah, so listen, I fall on being an Angels fan, and I don't have anything against the Dodgers. I'm just an Angels fan, so, and a Bruins fan. So I love rooting for teams that can't win. But anyway, stepping away from sports for a minute, it's great that the Dodgers are choosing all these players to be on their team. But I want to come back to really is important. Jesus' words. You did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you. It's important because it's the groundwork of God's truth. He didn't wait to see if we would choose him so he would know, like, okay, then I'll choose you. You're choosing me, so I'll choose you. Okay, that's good. That works together. He didn't wait to see to make sure we were worthy enough to be chosen by him. He didn't wait to see how much sin or how many bad things we were going to say to know if we were going to be chosen by him. He chose us first. He did. He chose you and he chose me. Matthew 25, he's teaching this parable regarding the end times. It's kind of scary. He's talking about the sheep and the goats. It's all the nations, all the people are going to be gathered together before the throne of God at the end times. And God is going to separate the people to his right and to his left. And to the right are the sheep and to the left are the goats. And the sheep are the ones that have been following God and the goats are the ones that didn't. And Jesus teaches this. He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the beginning, when we go back to Genesis, from before everything was done, God had chosen that those who would choose him would be a part of his kingdom for the end of the world, for the rest of time. Before it ever got to what we were going to do and what we were going to decide about God, he made a decision before the beginning of all things. He chose what was going to happen. He knew. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. God, what if they're not worth it? It doesn't matter whether they're worth it. This is what I am choosing to do. I'm choosing them first before they ever prove who they are. From the very start, God has chosen us to be a part of his family. Amen? I need you to get that and understand that. I hope that hits you like a ton of bricks. Because there are some of us that, no, I can't because I'm this, I'm that. I've done too many bad things. I've said too many dumb things. God chose you before you did all those things. I love a picture that said before God called you into ministry, he factored in your stupidity. I testify, right? I think someone wrote that about me. And there are a couple ways to look at this idea of God choosing us before all things. There's two different theological views of God choosing. Where I tend to land is this. God has chosen, since he created all people, he has chosen all people to be with him. It's just whether or not we're going to choose him back in response. That's going to determine what happens. And I get that from passages like John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. 1 Timothy, this is good and pleases God our Savior who wants all men to be saved. And I think it's 2 Timothy or Titus. God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. These are a few of the verses that shape my view on things. That God has chosen humanity to be with him. He created us to be with him. The Dodgers, they're only choosing the best players. But all the mediocre and the bad players are leaving for the Angels, right? They're not choosing the players that aren't going to help them win the World Series. They're only choosing the ones that are going to help them get to that spot. God is choosing all of us. He is. Just depends on if you're going to accept his invitation or not. We're brought in by his grace. So on one hand, God made us to belong. I need you to know that God chose us first. And the second thing I need you to understand is this. God chose us because he loves us. Man, there's the mic drop right there. God didn't choose me because I bring anything to the table. Right? That's our bottom line. God didn't choose me because of anything I bring, but because of his grace, he brings me in. I don't add anything to the team. You know what I add to God? I add headaches. I add problems. I don't want to know how many times I've done something or said something that God is just like, oh, gosh, or just looked away. Or how many times have I done something and God's been like, oh. I don't want to know. I don't want to count because it's been a lot. You know, there's a verse that talks about every careless word we said we have to give account for. And I'm like, I'm going to be there a long time. I try not to, but I'm just there. God didn't choose us because of our money. He didn't choose us because of our social status. He didn't choose us because we're a social media influencer. He didn't choose us because of our good looks. But it doesn't hurt, does it? I don't have good looks. Don't worry. We bring nothing to the table. We bring nothing to, no matter how good you think of yourself or how poorly you think of yourself, we bring nothing to the table that God would choose us. God chose us because he loves us. Period. And that's what the Bible teaches over and over. God so loved the world. Ephesians 2:4. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. God is love, and he loves us, and he chooses us because he loves us. That's the undeniable truth. He chooses us first, and he chooses us because he loves us. And he loves us because he wants to love us. Not because we're worthy of love, not because of anything we bring, but just because he is love, and he wants to love us. I've told this story before, and so some of you have heard it, but you'll hear it again, and some of you will be the first time. Years ago, my dad, who I was fortunate enough to grow up with, an awesome dad, he decided to buy me a brand new truck. And not just any truck, he bought me a Nissan Titan, like a big full-size truck, and it was great. And I couldn't understand it. It's great, but I couldn't figure out why he would buy me a new truck. I have to know the why. This is the part of the broken part of my brain. I have to know the why. And so I rationalized in my head, you know what? My dad's feeling guilty because my sister's getting married, and so they're spending a lot of money on her and her wedding, and so they don't want me to feel jealous or feel like I'm left out. So he bought me a truck to make things even. I couldn't put together in my head that maybe my awesome dad bought me a truck just because he loves me. That didn't come into my mind. It wasn't part of the equation for me. Dumb sometimes. This is what I need you to understand about God, church. God chooses you because he loves you. He's not looking to get anything out of you except to continue to be in relationship with you for now and for eternity. He chose you, he chose you first, and he chose you first because he loves you. And he created you to belong with him. Jesus wasn't sitting there one day with the Father and the Spirit going, hey, Dad, this Brian guy, he's kind of funny, I kind of like him. You know, the pulpit's getting kind of boring sometimes. I think it'd be great to bring some humor in. I think I'll save him so that he can bring some humor into the pulpit when he preaches. I think I don't bring anything to the table. God didn't choose me because I think I'm funny. He chose me because he loves me. He chose you because he loves you. And he chose you first. And he chose you before you get your life together. God loves us. And because God is love, he chooses you. 1 John talks about love a lot. The Apostle John, who walked with Jesus, and he writes this: "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us." Not that we loved God, but he loved us. Why would he send his Son into the world? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment of our sins. Why would God go to the cross? Why would Jesus suffer such excruciating death? Because of our sins. Because he created you. Because he chose you. Because he loves you. That's it. Chosen. What does the name chosen mean? It means I'm created to belong. But chosen means this: that the God of love chose me first before I ever chose him. Before I ever showed anything that can be good, he chose because he loves. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are chosen. And so I wrap this up, and the band, you can come on up as we get ready to take communion. If I can get you to walk out of here with just one thought, church, it's this: that God chose us first to be with him because of his grace, mercy, and love. It's not anything you bring to the table. It's not your intelligence. It's not your ability to work with people. All those things are great, and God can use all those things, and he will use you for his plans. But he didn't choose you to use you. He chose you because he loves you. And as we get ready to come to the table and this bread and this juice, we're reminded of Jesus going to the cross, dying a death for our sins, that we could be forgiven. Why? Because God loves you. Because God chose you. And he invites you to come and be a part of his family. So first, by choosing, God invites you to come and be a part of his family. And there are incredible blessings ahead. But here's the truth you need to know. God has chosen you. But you have to accept that. You can reject God. And the future that he has planned for you, the things that he has prepared for you, aren't yours. As much as God has chosen you and loves you, there's a path that has to happen. That we need to recognize that we're sinful people and we need Jesus to pay the price of our sins so that we can be restored back to God, so that we can come back into that relationship of being chosen. And today I invite you, I don't know where you're at spiritually, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, I want you to know that God is extending his hand out there because he's chosen you and he loves you. And he's saying, come and be a part of my family. Come and have your sins forgiven. Come to the place that I've prepared for you. And I don't put pressure on people to do that, but there's no better day than today to do that. If that's where you are, I want you to talk. We'll have elders up to pray with you while we take communion. And invite you to come and do that. I invite you to step out in faith and be baptized today. And you can jump in my car and I'll explain what baptism is, or Brandon will explain what baptism is on the way to the house. But there's no better time. First thing we need to do when God chooses us is we need to accept that invitation. And I believe this: as much as we reject that invitation, God is still holding out his hand, always saying, I've chosen you, I love you, will you come and be a part of my family? I just encourage you not to wait. Enjoy him now. Second thing is this: if God has chosen us, what has he chosen us for? And Jesus says that we would love one another. There's another passage that's, when we read 1 Peter, you are a chosen race that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. In being chosen, God's also chosen a purpose for us. Not that we would build ourselves up and show the world how great we are and to wear a big gold chain that says, I am God's. It's to wear a big gold chain that says, man, this God is amazing. He loves me even in spite of all my dumb things. And he's inviting you and he's chosen you to come and be a part of his family. Church, go out there and declare the excellencies of who God is and what he's done for you. Don't just sit back and hold it. You know, as much as I'm an introvert and want to just sit around people and not talk to people, that's also not who God created me to be. It's not. So I need to step outside of my box and be who God has called me to be in relationship with other people. I love what Tim Hughes says, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this. At the heart of the gospel is this truth. We are called and chosen by God to join in with the dance of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friends, you belong. You were made to belong, and you belong to God, and He has chosen you, and He loves you. And today, I encourage you to take a step in faith and to choose Him back, to be a part of His family, and to go out and declare the excellencies of who He is. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. We'll have this time of communion. We've got a table up front here and tables in back. When you're ready, you can partake of that. We take the bread and the juice, and this morning I encourage you to go, and as you take that bread and juice, don't just thank God for forgiving you. Thank you that He has chosen you. That you come to the table chosen, and not because of us, because He chose us first and because He loves us. I will have our elders to be with you, to talk with you, to pray with you about anything that you have going on. And then I really invite you, we'll end with worship, and then we'll head over to the house for the baptism at noon. But let's pray, and then we'll worship. Lord God, I thank you. You are amazing. Your love is amazing. God, I can look at myself and see all the idiotic, selfish, dumb things that I do, and wonder why you would ever choose somebody like me or love somebody like me. And the fact of the matter is, your love has nothing to do with the things I do, whether good or bad. You chose me because you love me. You chose us because you love us. And you created us that we would be with you. God, I thank you for this truth. And as we come to the tables this morning, I thank you that we come as chosen and loved. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.